This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, my name's Daryl Ong, and you're tuned in to Bar None, the show that brings you through the ins and outs of the sporting world. On the show this week, we head to the world of rhythmic gymnastics. But first up, this week's news roundup on the good, the bad, and the ugly. Alright, with me as always, I have Sabrina McLean from the News Desk. Welcome back, Sabrina.
Thank you.
This week's Good, Bad and Ugly, we have three pieces of news for you this week. And this week, let's start with the bad news.
Yes, so yet again, a topic of interest, salary arrears in local football. So this time, it's actually the Kelantan football team. They actually suffered a three-point deduction for the 2020 Premier League season, and this caused them to drop from the 7th to 10th position because they didn't pay the salaries of its players and officials according to schedule. So FAM said Kelantan did repay the first two installments in January and February, and they were actually given until the end of April to settle the rest. But because of the pandemic, which has affected everyone across the globe, it actually got extended until July 30th, but they still couldn't afford to pay. Right. So they asked to give it time until the end of the season, but the deadline, unfortunately, wasn't extended. So now, if they don't settle the arrears by August 31st, they could actually lose their club license, which will then make them ineligible to take part in the Malaysian League next year.
Wow, that's pretty major.
Yeah. And actually, the Kedah FA is also suffering from the same issue. You know, it actually asked help from the state government, but their funds hasn't gotten approved yet. But the Penang FA, however, you know, they managed to resolve their salary crisis. They paid their players and officials for April, May and June. I mean, salary arrears in local football, it has been going on for a long, long time,
ages,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, FAM recently decided, you know, this has to stop. And so what they did was they moved to end the role of state football associations 26 years after football went professional. And that actually means that states and clubs, they must privatize their teams for the AFC Cup and Champions League tournaments and get licenses from the Asian Football Confederation by September 30th. And the applications must be submitted by the end of this month. This is actually to ensure the accountability, you know. And teams who fail to meet the deadlines, they will be banned from next season's M-League.
Oh.
Can you imagine what's it like if you don't get paid for months?
I mean, I saw a picture of the players on the pitch kind of doing a little protest while training. So yeah, it's kind of crazy to think about it, you know. Like you say, you know, 26 years since the Malaysian League has been running, and this salary issue keeps happening. There were lots of talks of privatization, making clubs go away from, I guess, the state association. So it's good that FAM's kind of like putting down the law right now, right?
That's right.
All right, that was our bad news of the week. Let's move on to more ugly news.
Yeah. Actually, this topic is definitely ugly because it involves abuse revelations by athletes. First, I think everyone knows USA Gymnastics. Larry Nassar, the national team doctor, he was actually sentenced 2 years ago to 40 to 175 years in prison for decades of sexual abuse on hundreds of athletes. And now it's New Zealand. So what happened was over the weekend, there were revelations that club and elite gymnasts complain of being verbally abused, body shamed, or forced to train while injured. And these complaints go back to the 1990s. So it was reported that Gymnastics New Zealand prevented Olympic hopefuls from competing for months because they raised concerns about an allegedly abusive coach at a 2018 training camp.
Right.
No action was taken against the coach, and a lawyer was actually called on to mediate between the athletes and Gymnastics New Zealand to reduce the sanctions on the athletes. And just recently, actually, Gymnastics New Zealand boss Tony Compeer said he had no idea that the top athletes were being penalised by the national body for bringing up these issues. I mean, some of the complaints were verbal abuse, where it actually led to elite athletes hiding from the coach to avoid continuing training. And even some of them complained of dangerous training methods, like one gymnast, she fell on her head.
Right.
And some of them were also told to train against medical advice. And this isn't just New Zealand alone, actually. Gymnastics Australia launched an independent investigation because at least 20 former gymnasts complained about a toxic culture of body shaming, verbal abuse, and being pressured to train or compete while injured. This is also, recently, if you heard, the Dutch Gymnastics Federation had to suspend its women's elite training program and coaches because it's probing physical and mental abuse allegations by former athletes.
Right.
And they actually spoke out. Most of them actually spoke out after watching the Netflix documentary film Athlete A, which is actually based on the newspaper investigation into the abuse of American athletes that led to Larry Nassar's conviction. In June, the British Gymnastics Organization also launched an independent review because dozens of gymnasts were complaining about abuse. Mm. But beyond gymnastics, a report by Human Rights Watch found that young athletes in Japan have suffered physical, verbal, and sexual abuse during training. And this came from the experiences of more than 800 athletes and across 50 sports, actually. Mm. And some of the abuses included punching, slapping, and excessive or insufficient food or water. And, all these allegations are being investigated, but this actually looks like the tip of the iceberg. This is just mainly gymnastics. Imagine if it's other sports.
The stories that we don't know, right?
Yeah. Exactly. And these revelations are surfacing with the help of a documentary and also, I guess, being empowered by former athletes that are coming forward. And I just hope that, the perpetrators will be brought to justice and more and more people talk about it, there's more accountability and the issue will be nipped from the bud.
But this is definitely an ongoing story, so we might revisit it in the future.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, from all the doom and gloom, let's get on to the good news of the week.
So this time, we want to shine some light onto the badminton team.
Yeah.
So Badminton Association of Malaysia, they are actually organizing their first sporting event in Malaysia since the COVID-19 pandemic.
Finally.
I'm very excited. So the internal event will be in two stages, Division 2, which is actually starting tomorrow. And Division 1 will be next week at Academy Badminton Malaysia in Bukit Kiara. So 58 shuttlers, including 8 independent players, they will actually be taking part. And BAM wants to organise the internal events to keep the players fit before international tournaments resume. And the very next big thing for the shuttlers will be the Thomas and Uber Cup finals, which will be in October in Denmark. Mm. Just to add some information, Malaysia just actually got drawn to face the Netherlands, Indonesia and England for the Thomas Cup.
Okay.
And the Uber Cup squad, they will go against Indonesia, South Korea and Australia.
Oof, tough group.
Yeah, indeed. But coming back to the earlier topic, the good news isn't only that competitive playing just came back. It's also that BAM decided to offer prize money for the competition this month and also another one next month. Mm. So they didn't actually say how much it will be, but it will come from the national championships, which recently got postponed because of the pandemic. The national players do get their allowances from the national body, but you can imagine what the independent players must be going through.
Yeah.
Their sources of income are actually from sponsors and prize money. Mm. But, nevertheless, all the players, I'm sure, have been demoralized because they aren't able to compete. They haven't been able to compete for the past 4 months because of the pandemic.
Mm.
So, this is definitely a boost and an extra reason to smile as they get back on court.
Definitely no spectators, at least for now. But can we catch it on TV or something?
I hope so. I haven't heard about details on that yet.
What are the dates of the tournament?
Division 2 is actually starting from the 5th till the 8th of August, and Division 1 will be the following week.
All right, great stuff. Thank you very much, Sabrina.
Thank you.
Many thanks again, Sabrina Magdalene, from our very own BFM News Desk for this week's news roundup on the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now on to the world of rhythmic gymnastics and how social sports clubs are keeping alive during the pandemic. Gyms in Malaysia have reopened, but for months now, there was a void of activity with a drop in membership. On the show this week, we have ex-national gymnast Sarina Sundra Raja, who in 1998 clinched a gold medal at the Commonwealth Games in KL. Fast forward today, she's giving back her expertise through her club, Sarina Rhythmic Gymnastics Club, the SRGC, a club that operates in 2 centres in the Klang Valley and teach about 150 students. Her club, who, like many others, faces difficulty in the light of the worldwide pandemic and the movement control order. We find out what the new normal looks like for rhythmic gymnastics. Here's Sarina Sundra Raja telling us more.
So after I retired from rhythmic gymnastics in 2003, I decided to set up my own club, Serena Rhythmic Gymnastics Club, because I was really passionate about rhythmic gymnastics and about, you know, nurturing young children, young girls especially, to further nurture the potential to become a champion.
Mm. And how long has the club been going on for now?
Since 2003.
Mm, that's quite a long time. And 2020, I would assume, is one of the hardest years that you had to go through, you and your team. You know, many industries got affected by it, sports as well. And the knockback effect of that is that the grassroots also got affected, which is what your club focuses a lot on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about, I guess, this past couple of months since the MCO, since March. What kind of struggles have your club been through?
When the pandemic started early this year, I didn't pay much attention to it.
Oh.
So I was actually caught off guard.
Okay.
Then until, you know, the pandemic hit home, then I realized, okay, this is real. So what do I do? And, you know, there was a sense of panic because rhythmic gymnastics is usually conducted, you know, as a physical activity at the gym.
Yeah.
And now we are no longer supposed to be conducting any physical activity, especially, you know, with physical distancing rule. So that, you know, I was thinking, like, so how do I continue running SRGC and how do I continue delivering rhythmic gymnastics training, which, you know, traditionally has always been an offline activity.
Mm.
And I was worried because I wasn't sure how long this was going to last, whether I was going to be able to retain all of my staff, my coaches, how I was going to pay for my overheads. So, you know, it was very challenging a couple of months, but I'm in a better place right now.
Things are looking brighter.
Yeah, yes, definitely.
That's great, that's great. So during that, all those months, like you mentioned, you know, you're fearful of losing your staff, of losing your students. How have you been keeping in touch? You know, there are lots of things now, right? Video conferencing, video trainings. Have you been doing that with your students?
Yeah, so the last 4.5 months or so, we actually conducted online training sessions with the girls. And once the MCO was lifted and we are able to train at the gym, I've actually conducted a survey among the parents to find out, you know, if they are comfortable in sending their kids to the gym. And some of the parents are still worried about their child's safety. So we decided to implement a 50-50 online and offline training.
Okay.
So we have actually divided the groups, the larger ones, into fewer, smaller cohorts. And while this group is training offline at the gym, we will have live streaming of the sessions for those training online at home.
I see.
So these are some of the measures that we are taking place just to ensure that the parents' minds are at ease.
Yeah, and that's
the
thing.
And also the girls' safety.
That's the thing, right? Better be safe than sorry. So in this 50-50 split, is it the case of, okay, you're online this week and then you're coming to the gym the next week? Or is it...
Yes, correct.
Oh, nice. Okay,
yes.
Okay. So at least they still get to see people.
Yes, so twice a month.
I see,
yes.
got you. Talking a little bit about, you know, it's not just affected your business and not just affected the sports industry, but I'm sure it has affected you personally as well, right? Can you tell us a little bit about how these personal struggles kind of amplified into business struggles?
Well, a sports club's bottom line is to sustain the business is the fees paid by our clients, and this sustains our coaches, our rentals, our competitions, everything. So parents have been willing to pay the fees because they see the value that a sport like rhythmic gymnastics conveys to their kids, such as discipline, hard work, and just general, you know, feel good and satisfaction with self. So with the MCO, I mean, how do we provide enough values that satisfies our clients, because we are actually working less, thus perceived as deserving less? I mean, I'm grateful that I've managed to retain almost 100% of my clientele.
That's great. Nice.
Because I'm charging less, and perhaps I am perceived as offering values for the mind as well. while I, you know, I'm training my little girls and big girls in women empowerment, I also make them aware of their rights and to recognize it when their rights are being violated. So these are some of the foundations and the programs that we have been implementing at SRGC during the MCO that we call the Women 4.0 app. So it's a biosensor and neuroscience AI-based app that is being developed to empower both women and men.
Okay. Just want to bring you back to a point you made. You know, parents are still paying fees, you know. Over the last couple of months, we see gyms, you know, drop by one, memberships going, getting low. So it's great to see that your club, you know, is still retaining the loyalty, right, I guess.
Yes, I'm very grateful for that.
Tell us a little bit about, you know, you were talking about, you know, split classes and stuff like that. But tell us a little bit about, you know, the other solutions that you had to develop to keep the club running.
Well, besides implementing the standard operating procedures regulated by the Ministry of Youth and Sports, one of the solutions that SRGC have come up with is to conduct live Synapse 360 mentoring sessions online. So there are two new ideas here, the Mentalk and the Synapse 360 live online sessions. Mentalk, spelled in this way, means a trainer who knows how to be a mentor, a trainer and guide at the required times and as indicated by our clients. So the nurturing mentor and the skilled trainer and the tough and hard guide who ensure failure and the lessons learned from failure. So combining a mentor with a Synapse 360, we get this great solution for the development of the habits, which is the habits, behaviors and thinking systems for the IR 4.0.
Right. And this is a new software that has been developed.
So the company that I co-founded with Teva, it's a mind, body and brain training company.
Okay.
So we quantify the habits, behaviors and thinking systems of people in the IR 4.0.
Mm. Sarina, do you think that this is one of the ways, you know, of, you know, branching out to the new normal? But do you, what does the new normal for rhythmic gymnastics look like to you? What do you think it will be?
For me, this will be our new norm for at least the next few years.
Oh, wow.
So I will still continue to implement the online and offline training sessions.
Okay.
But besides just focusing on the physical, which is the body aspect, I would like to continue and further emphasize on training the mind of these young athletes. Because during the pandemic, mental health is one of the issues that some of my young children are facing.
Mm.
And we have a solution which is able to quantify and train their habits, behaviors and thinking systems so that they can achieve a peak performance mind.
Mm. On a more human level, you're right, you know, that there is that certain underlying fear of people going out. It's better to say than sorry, but that being said though, there's that stigma of fear. What advice would you give to people who think that way?
With the government implementing safety measures, you know, for mandatory face masks at public areas, besides that, I believe that having a very good immune system also helps.
Mm.
So I've actually started, you know, talking more to my girls about boosting their immune system to ensure that they exercise every day and they have, you know, adequate sunlight, vitamin D, and also having a good healthy diet.
Okay.
Which also helps in ensuring that your body is in a peak performance.
Okay, so maybe just give us a ideal rundown of, you know, what will boost your immune system?
Well, very few simple steps that I actually practice now is to ensure that I have enough sleep, 8 hours at least every day. And I try to get a minimum 30 minutes sunlight exposure and also between 30 minutes to 1 hour of physical activity. I go to the gym or I do I jog. And I also take turmeric. So I take a combination of turmeric with black pepper and apple cider vinegar every day.
Oh, okay.
So that is some of the few steps that I've been taking since the start of the pandemic to ensure that I am healthy. I always advocate to my young girls that, you know, their diet is extremely important because what they eat actually affects their performance daily, whether it's in sports or education. But yes, so, you know, less carbohydrates and no sugar.
But is it wrong for me to say that it's harder to manage if they're not in the gym, if you're doing it online, right? Zoom classes. How are you going to monitor that?
Well, it's not about monitoring these kids, but, you know, to make it into a habit, a lifestyle that everyone should be practicing, not just the athletes,
sure.
But, you know, parents at home to, as part of their daily lifestyle, to ensure that they do achieve performance.
I mean, ultimately, it's the parents' responsibility. You only can nudge them in a certain way, right, to do
yes,
something.
Yes, correct.
Last few questions, Serena. Looking at this whole past couple of months, it's been gloomy for lots of industries, sports also. What do you think are the lessons that, you know, many different social sports clubs can take, in hindsight, I guess, to try to make this situation a lot better?
From my perspective only, I've managed to regain a sustainable business model and provide hope and belief to our clients and our markets who are wondering how. So WHO recently has mentioned that the pandemic is here to stay for at least 10 years. So it's something that we will have to learn how to live with it and make the best out of it. However, in order to innovate, sports will never be the same. And, a lot of sports activities will always have to be conducted, best conducted, you know, physically. And for rhythmic gymnastics, it is challenging, especially for the younger ones, to have online training. However, I've begun to develop my resources whereby we have more training videos so that when we have online classes, we're able to deliver a better module and syllabus for the younger kids to follow. So those are some of the steps that we are taking.
That's great.
And on top of that, we are implementing online training sessions that also works on the mind as well for mental toughness.
How about in terms of, you know, competitions? Do you see it resuming anytime soon?
It's hard for me to plan now because I know it is the second wave and there might be another lockdown or maybe not. So I try not to plan so much in advance. So I'm just taking one day at a time, one step at a time. And for me, the girls' mental health and physical health is more important at this point. So after 4.5 months of training online, most of their strength and flexibility is not the same as before. So now we are implementing the reintegration program for 3 months just to get them back into
peak performance.
Yeah, into peak performance.
That's great. I mean, speaking to Serena Sundra Raja, last question, Serena. What are your hopes, I guess? I mean, it has been a very gloomy year and one to forget, to be honest. But what's your hopes for the future of local rhythmic gymnastics?
At this point, most of our competitions and events have been cancelled. But now SRGC is just looking forward to see our girls for training every week. And we are hoping to, besides focus on the physical strength, we are also hoping to increase their peak performance by training their mind as well.
That was Serena Sundra Raja, ex-national gymnast, and also the founder of SRGC, the Serena Rhythmic Gymnastics Club. And with that, we've come to the end of this week's Bar None. If you'd like to revisit the interview again, you can head over to our website real soon, www.bfm.my/Bar None. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can tweet us at BFM Radio. And also don't forget to download our BFM app via Google Play and the App Store. My name's Daryl Ong. This has been Bar None, the show that brings you through the ins and outs of the sporting world. Join us again next week on here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.